This is the Southwestern Christadelphian Bible School, the 12th of July, 2013. This is Class 5. Our speaker is Brother Peter King of the Worcester, UK meeting. His theme is Joshua, the Servant of the Lord, and today's title is Good Leaders Are Vital to Godly Health. Brother Peter.
Good morning, brethren and sisters.
Good morning.
Israel could just never shift the Jebusites from Jerusalem. You will surely have noticed, and I think we mentioned earlier, that whenever the nations are mentioned against whom Israel fought, Jebusites are always mentioned last of all. They defeated almost all the surrounding area, but could never shift the Jebusites. It fell between Benjamin and Judah, and although Benjamin drove them out, Benjamin left and the Jebusites came back. They could never get shot of the Jebusites. Until, of course, David comes on the scene. And Joab climbs through the gutter, open the gates of the city. Jerusalem is taken. Which is why the New Testament story about the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple makes a great deal of sense, doesn't it? When the Jebusites looked down at David trying to get into the city, and they said, "You stand no chance at all. Even the blind people and the lame people, if we said goodbye to all of our soldiers, and we just were left with blind and lame people, they would defend the city against you. You can never take it." Except that David knew that there was a passage from Gihon running subterraneously into the city, from which a well ascended vertically, so that when in Jerusalem you wanted water, it was easy. You just lowered down a bucket on a rope, took the water, and the water was always there because it was always flowing from Gihon. And David knew this. And he said, "Whosoever therefore will open the gates," it's a jolly difficult thing to do. Joab presumably had to get into the water at Gihon, come along the underground tunnel, and then climb vertically to open the gates of the city, and he did it. And David said, "Because of this, you will now be made my commander-in-chief of the army." David said, or at least the people in David's day said, "Therefore, the blind and the lame shall never enter into the temple area of the Lord." A rule from that day to this, they said. And when the Lord Jesus Christ welcomed in the lame and the blind, jumps off the page in the gospel record, the scribes and Pharisees are furious. I mean, they're blind to the fact that a wonderful miracle has been performed. Miracles, plural, are being performed. Blind people and lame people coming into the temple, hindered by blindness and lameness, and they go out singing and shouting and seeing and rejoicing. And the small-minded Pharisaical people and the Sadducees criticize the Lord for the wonder of the miracles which he performed. It never ceases to amaze me that these religious people, these experts in the law, fail to see the wonder of the grace of the Son of God who came to save them. Oh, they were poor leaders. But it finishes there. It doesn't start there. It goes way back into the Old Testament where we're looking for good leaders to give God's people health and good leadership. and we shall see with your patience and by the grace of God, they failed abysmally. Oh, there were one or two that were half decent. I mean, Joshua was a good man. Moses, difficult man to follow. There were going to be others as well. Phinehas, grandson of Aaron, wonderful man, good leader. Hezekiah is going to come on the scene, brilliant leader. But you look at the history of the people and you will see that these reforms were very, very short-lived. Nobody carried the torch. I mean, the word of God in the book of Judges well explains it all to us. And God raised a judge to save his people. And they followed the Lord during the lifetime of that judge. But as soon as the judge was dead, they reverted again to their old ways. I just wonder how different today's situation might be, if it's different at all. While we have good ecclesial leaders powerfully showing us the way, not dominating the ecclesia, not asking that. I'm asking for good leaders to stand up and be counted so that the ecclesias today can grow in strength. And I bring you just to the little situation just to show how leaders might react. And Joab had a wonderful opportunity now. Chief commander of God's army, Joab, had a wonderful opportunity to show the people by the strength of his arm as well as by the strength of his character. A man who was unafraid of danger. What a wonderful opportunity Joab had to show the people the way to righteousness. And David is king in Hebron. And there is war between the house of Saul and the house of David. It's going to continue for some time yet. It's going to be quite a while before the house of Saul is totally extinguished and David takes over and rules over the whole nation. It's going to be a little while yet. But meanwhile, David is king in Hebron. He's going to reign there for 7 years. And we are introduced to the three sons of Zeruiah. You know who they are. Joab, we know all about him. Abishai, man who was very strong. I mean, when David retreats from Jerusalem in the days of Absalom, who is it who's leading the way with his sword? Well, it's Abishai. And Shimei, who's throwing stones and casting dust in the air. We hate David. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, says to David, just let me walk across there and fix him. I'll just hit him once with this. No, says David. Not a time for the sword. Put it away. And the third brother, Asahel, well, he was a fit young man, hey? Asahel. Very, very good athlete. Younger than the other two, of course. I see Joab, because it's an imagination. I see Joab as a well-set, strong man. Well-built. Abishai, maybe a bit taller. A little bit slimmer. Maybe. It's imagination. But Asahel, well, he built like a pencil. You know, slim, could do any, run anywhere. Beat anybody. And there is war between Saul and David. Saul's army led by Abner. Good man, Abner. I like Abner. Fighting against the men of David. Led by Joab. And Israel put the men of Saul to the flight. They beat them. I mean, the numbers are given to us in the record. They're hammered by the men of David. And so the men of Saul retreat. We're going into this story in a little detail just to show what Joab might have been and what Joab turned out to be. And whereas he could have been a good leader, he turns out to be something of a disaster. Right at the end when he follows Absalom instead of David. But now let's get back to Hebron and the war that's taking place between Abner, Saul, and Joab, David. And the men of Saul retreat. And they're chased by the Israelites. And Asahel sees Abner. And Abner has decent armor on. And Abner thinks, if I could take him and take his armor, that'll give me, earn a few brownie points, maybe, in the sight of my brother Joab, maybe promoted. And so Asahel, swift as a roe, chases after Abner. And Abner turns around and sees him coming. He says, please don't follow behind me. I shall kill you. It's a battle time. And how then will I lift up my face to your brother Joab? But Abner, his advice is ignored by Asahel. And Asahel closes the gap. And if you, come on, read the word of God with a little imagination. Do you the world of good. And you see Asahel closing the gap. And Abner turning round to him again, he said, look, if you want armor, go and chase after one of the other young men. Take their armor, but don't come after mine, because if you do, I will kill you. And Asahel ignores him and closes the gap on Abner so rapidly that he's on top of him. I almost see him with his sword drawn. He's going to smite Abner, is he? And Abner hits him through his stomach with the back end of his spear. That's how close Asahel is to Abner. And he hits him with the back end of the spear and kills him. And the trumpet is blown by Joab. Abner says, how long is this going to continue? And from far away, Joab blows the trumpet and the battle is called off. And now instead of the three sons of Zeruiah, there are two. Joab and Abishai. But Joab couldn't put down the fact that his younger brother had been killed by Abner in battle. It was a fair fight. I mean, you don't go into war unless you expect to pay the penalty or are prepared to put your life on the line. And then the situation comes back to Hebron sometime later, and we see Abner coming into Hebron for an interview with David. And he says, if you give me permission, I will go out into the land and I will bring all Israel to you. Just give me your permission to go out, and I promise you, and they'll all bow, and you'll be the king over the whole nation. I can persuade Saul's family and Saul's men to come and join you in Hebron. You must go, said David. He trusted Abner. And as Abner goes out of the city, Joab comes in. And he says to David, what's that guy doing here? And David tells him, he's gone to bring all Israel to us in Hebron. There's going to be one kingdom. I'll be king over the whole nation. There'll no longer be the house of Saul and the house of David. It will be the house of David. That's what we want. Joab said, you trusted him, this man? I'll just bring you to the verse that's important, brethren and sisters. I think this is a lovely little touch. You need the second book of Samuel in chapter 3. I'll read verse 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Now, isn't that telling? Here was a man, Joab, who couldn't put down the fact that his brother had died in battle. Legitimate death. Abner did not commit murder. Abner killed a man in warfare. The trumpet had not yet been blown. There was still war between Abner and Joab, between the house of Saul and the house of David. And Asahel dies. And it is not murder, it's death in warfare. And Joab couldn't put it down. And so he waits for Abner to come back into Hebron. Oh, he's such a violent man. And he puts his arm around him, takes him to speak quietly, and takes him into the gate of the city. And when they're in the gate of the city, out comes his sword, and Abner is dead. But why are we giving that little detail? And the answer is, you'll know this because you're well taught in this area. Hebron was a city of refuge. And therefore, of necessity, Abner must be taken out of the city before Joab could kill him. Otherwise, it would be murder. If he killed him while he was in Hebron, I mean, that's why the cities of refuge were established. So that the accidental murderer, the accidental killer could flee to a city of refuge, and there he would be safe until his case was heard. I mean, you couldn't commit a murder and run to the city of refuge and say, I want to take refuge here. Your case was judged by the elders of the city. And if it was not held up to be legitimate, then you would be handed over to the relatives of the dead man who would kill you. But if it, as in the case of Abner, he happened to be in Hebron, and he should be safe. And he was safe. But Joab, the man who should have been leading the people, was so concerned about his own right. He killed my brother. He'll pay the price. And he did. But he had to take him out of the city to do it. And the second book of Samuel doesn't say, of course, Hebron was a city of refuge, you know. It waits for us to find that out. There's a tiny little, shall we call it undesigned, Bible coincidence. Joab was a violent man. We always need good leaders. It doesn't matter whether you lived in the time of David or you live in this 21st century. We need good leaders. I bring you to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. This is the advice of God to Moses, and doubtless Joshua would have been listening. And it is brilliant advice, brethren and sisters. Advice to which we should give a serious attention now. Verse 6 of chapter 6, Deuteronomy. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. This is the important part. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That is 24/7. And God says to Moses, teach this to your people. Come on, leaders. Come on, you arranging brethren, hear these words.